We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
I want us to read together from the book, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. If you missed Friday, it means we're now on part 13. We did part 12 on Friday, on Good Friday, and today we are on Mark 13. Mark 16, I'm reading from verse 1 to 8. If you're there, I'm going to read. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. ESV? Okay. So this is the story. I want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what it's about today. The resurrection of Jesus. Mark is just telling us about that whole event on that morning when these women went to the tomb aiming to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they got there, they were in for a surprise. In fact, they were debating who will roll away the stone for us, because it was a huge stone. There's no way they could have rolled it away themselves. When they got there, they found a young man sitting inside on the right-hand side of where the body was, and it turned out it was Jesus. It was the angel saying, an angel rather, saying, "He's not here. The Jesus Christ of Nazareth that was crucified is risen. So go and tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that he was with them in Galilee as he told you." And so they were frightened. They were trembling. They went away and they kept quiet. They didn't tell anybody. So the resurrection of Jesus. On Good Friday, we remember the death of Jesus. But on Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So if the cross is the central symbol of Christianity, then resurrection is the central proclamation of the church. Because without the resurrection, we have no reason for being here. In fact, we can't even preach this message. Because how can we preach about a Jesus crucified who never rose from the dead? How can we even talk about salvation if Jesus did not rise from the dead? The very fact that Jesus was raised from the dead is the reason we celebrate and partake in the Holy Communion, believing that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Amen. So this is where we want to start from. Paul says in Romans 4:24, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." To make us right. Something broke in the Garden of Eden. Something went off tangent in the Garden of Eden. And because Jesus died and rose from the dead, we are made right with God. That death is significant for us as believers. So we can make it right even today. If things are not right between us and God, God can make it right today. But we got to take the opportunity. This means that our sins are forgiven, we are pardoned, and the whole of sin between God and us has been pulled down. We're speaking on Friday how the tent, the curtain was torn from top to bottom by hand, not of men, but of God, so that we could have access to God. So Mark is narrating this story of the resurrection, and there's some few insights I want us to pull out from the text we just read. When Jesus was raised from the dead in power and in glory, who did he do this for? Who did he do it for? A number of people, but I want to just single out four today. The resurrection is for those who have unanswered questions. Okay, I'm ahead of the media team. That's fine. Verse 2, Mark 16:2 says, very early in the morning, just as sunrise, they went to the tomb. On their way, they were asking each other question. And some of the questions they asked themselves is, who will roll away the stone from us, from the entrance to the tomb? These were women speaking. They woke up very early in the morning. You can imagine waking up early in the morning, going to a cemetery. And you are women only. And you know clearly that that cemetery has got a huge boulder that is closing it off. And so they're chatting, they're speaking. Who will roll away that stone? Because no man could roll away that stone. Now, that's their question. But I believe that there were many other questions being asked by a number of people in those 3 days when Jesus Christ was nowhere to be seen. The Bible tells us of some disciples that went back to fishing. You remember Peter and seven others. They went back to fishing because they lost vision. They had many questions. And then we are told of some disciples that were on their way to Emmaus, away from action in Jerusalem. And then we have women making their way to the cemetery very early in the morning. There were many questions that day. Some were concerned about what's going to happen now that Jesus is no more. Some were confused, some were bewildered. I believe that some felt abandoned by God. They felt Jesus had abandoned them. They thought he was going to be the king of the people of the Jews, and then now he's dead. What's going to happen? People had questions. Where is God in all this? You might be asking yourself, why didn't God do something about what's happening? Couldn't he save Jesus Christ? Couldn't he stop the Romans from killing him? All those are unanswered questions. What's going to happen to us? That was the question maybe in the minds of the disciples. But I want to tell you that an angel that day had very good news about Jesus being resurrected. Is he not the one that announced and said, he's not here, he's risen? He announced it to them, says, he's risen. Have you noticed that while they were despondent and wondering where Jesus was, God was at work in turning their despair into a very, very amazing breakthrough. So while we do not see God is at work, while things might look gloomy and all that, God is at work in your life. You might not know, but just because you don't know doesn't mean that God is not at work. Your unanswered questions, God is preparing an answer for you. We are told in the Bible of a teenager named Joseph who was abandoned by his brothers and thrown into a well and sold into slavery and falsely accused of rape. He had no idea what's going to happen. He could not tell what his tomorrow is going to look like. And he's in prison for 13 years or something like that? At 30 years old, something happens. He interprets a dream, and from interpreting that dream, he ends up being the second most powerful man in Egypt. Why? Because God was at work behind the scenes. Did Joseph have questions while he was in prison? I believe he had many questions. A young man of his age, 18 years old, you're in prison, and you're wondering, why am I even here when I didn't do anything wrong? But God had an answer. He needed to wait. You may be in the midst of many problems today and feel like you have been thrown into the bottom of the well, like this young man called Joseph. You might feel like that today, falsely accused. You might feel that you've been abandoned. you might feel forsaken. You might feel that God has left you alone. And you are pondering, what's going to happen to my life tomorrow? I've got news for you. His reason. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, his reason is not even, maybe you missed the point. That is reason means there's resurrection power available to change your situation. Amen. That's the whole idea. Amen. There is resurrection power, not resuscitation power. Okay, let's move to the second thing. You are not forgotten by God. Amen. You are not. Your questions will be answered. But the other thing that Jesus did when he rose from the dead is for those who need a purpose. He's for those who need a purpose. From verse 5 to 7, I counted this. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white sitting on the right side. The Bible says the women were shocked. And then the next verse. There are about 8 things the angel told them. New, fresh information from heaven. Nobody had had this. This is what is called breaking news, like we saw from the Jerusalem. What is it called again? It should be Norfolk Park Broadcasting Corporation. That's what it should be called. So, they had breaking news. And the breaking news was like this. First is, don't be alarmed. That's one thing you need to know. Whatever it is that you carry in your shoulders, the Bible says, don't be alarmed. And then there's a redirection taking place here because they had walked all the way to the tomb to look for a dead man. But because of the power of resurrection, that place that was known as a place for the dead was now known as a place for the risen. Can you imagine? Because when God comes into your life, he changes your story. That's the news that heaven brought to these people that came. It says, I know you walked all the way in the dark, coming to look for a dead man, but the dead man is no longer here. He's risen. In case, just in case you think I'm talking about somebody else, the angel has got to give them detail. He says, Jesus of Nazareth. Didn't they know where Jesus was from? Just in case you think I missed your address. Just in case you think this is my neighbor's message. The angel says, the Jesus of Nazareth you're talking about, that problem that has got a name, you know it. Jesus calling it by name. And he says, don't be alarmed. And then he says, well, you're looking for this dead man. He's not here. In fact, he's not dead anymore. Isn't it amazing how God is so speaking? He says, this Jesus of Nazareth, not only Jesus of Nazareth, but the one that was crucified. The one you saw dying, the one you saw struggling, the one you witnessed with your own eyes, you were there. You were there. But I've come to tell you, he isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Just in case you're still confused, look where he lay. He was laid here. But where the body lay, the angel was sitting.
Amen.
Where the head was, now an angel was sitting on it.
Amen.
That very spot. Do you know what? God doesn't just do a replacement. God resets your life.
Amen.
Do you know the difference between resuscitation and resurrection? Resuscitation, the same body is raised from the dead. The same nature is still on you. That's why when Lazarus showed up, he died again. Because Lazarus was raised from the dead with the same body, but this one that Jesus had was glorified. So when God comes into your life, he gives you a new life. Your nature changes. Your attitude changes. Your interests change. All of a sudden, things fall off your life that you thought were important. They no longer are important. Why? Because he's risen. He's no longer there. So what he does is he then refocuses their purpose. He says to them, now that I've given you the evidence, now that I've shown you that Jesus who lay here is alive, he then says to them, now go. Now go. Verse 8. Now go and tell the disciples. So he focuses, says, instead of mourning, instead of hiding, I want you to go do something for me. He sends them out on a mission because your life is a mission. Your life has a purpose. There's a reason why you are in that college, in that university. You think you're out to get a degree. Mm-hmm. That's how the world thinks. But heavenly perspective says, I've planted you there to be the salt and the light. You might not have known that. You might be going to job just to pay bills. You think it's just a job. How's work? Oh, so and so. Oh, how is work? Oh, just going, getting by, just surviving. Under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. Under what circumstances? It is God who planted you there so that you could be a witness for Christ. You might not know this. You might think that is because you're smart, your CV is heavy, you talk very sharp. You're right, except that under the sun, that's how the world thinks. But over the sun is heaven. And heaven says, I sent you there to make a difference. I sent you. So go and tell them. You are sent. You are sent. It's what I call a divine sent filter. When you see things from the divine sent filter, you begin to hear things from God. You begin to sense steerings from God. You begin to have boldness to talk about Jesus in places where you were afraid. You are able to say, in my kingdom, we don't think like this. In my kingdom, we don't talk like this. In my kingdom, we don't behave like this. In my kingdom, we behave this way. Why? Because you have heaven inside of you. So he refocuses. This is an angel. He refocuses. He recalibrates their thinking. That's what resurrection does. You can't be the same when you have met the resurrected Jesus Christ. You can't be. It doesn't happen. And number, I think we're on number four or number three. I will end with number three. So that we can baptize these guys before they run away. So we need to get this out of the way. The resurrection is for those who failed. Do you know how it is to fail? I used to think I was a smart kid in school. I used to do very well in my exams. I had never tested failure until a certain time when God decided to deal with me and I flunked a very important exam. I couldn't believe it. I started questioning myself, am I that thick? Am I that dumb? Is it this difficult that I just wrote? No, I was processing things. I really felt bad, I'm telling you. It was so bad. It was like I've committed a crime by failing. And I was doing a self-introspection thinking there's something wrong with my brain. Until I started looking at it from a different perspective that no. God was dealing with something in my life. Let me show you a guy who experienced what failure is. Let me show you a guy. I know we've got sharpshooters here. You guys are smart. You probably have never tested failure. For example, failure driving test. And all you failed like me. We're many. For those of you doing driving tests, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Mark 16, verse 7. Mark 16, oh, you laugh too much. Now you frighten the kid. Verse 7 says, now, but go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Why would the angel single out one disciple out of 11? Did he not know the names of the other ones? What about James? What about John? What about Bartholomew? What about Nathaniel? What about Levi? What about Judas? Not the Iscariot, the other one. What about those other guys? Ah, go and tell Peter and the disciples. Let me show you Peter was singled out. Let's go to Mark 14, verse 66. I'm going to read it because you need to see this. I'm speaking to somebody now. You need to see this. From verse 66, let's pick up the story from verse 66. You remember Jesus was beaten, shamed, they spit on him, they blindfolded him, they mocked him, and all sorts of things. And all this was happening. While all this was happening, Peter was dealing with other stuff on the side. And this is what was happening to Peter while Jesus was going through that humiliation. Verse 66 says, meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, you were one of those with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter denied it. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, this man is definitely one of them. But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, you must be one of them because you are a Galilean. Verse 71, Peter swore a kiss on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you ever knew me. And he broke down and wept. By his actions, by his own mouth, Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. He even saw that, I don't know this man. The very man he ate with, man he walked with, the very man he, with his own mouth, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when the heat was on, Peter says, I don't even know this man. What are you talking about? You want to understand failure? Ask Peter. He hit rock bottom. You're talking of a guy who was a failure. Look at Peter. It grieved him that he ashamed. He was ashamed of Jesus. He did not want to be identified with him at all. Do you see why God specifically singles Peter? Because at that moment in Peter's life, he needed to hear from God that loves him. And that at that moment, the angel makes a statement through the women that came to the tomb. He says, go and tell Peter. How Peter is supposed to receive that message? It's a statement of grace. It's a statement of forgiveness. It's a statement of love. Saying, I want to restore you. Yes, you might have failed. Never mind the driving test. Never mind the exam that was going to get you promoted at work. Never mind that. I'm talking about failure in terms of sin. I'm talking about being rescued from power of sin. I'm talking about being set free from the grip of sin. I'm talking about struggling with that sin that you keep trying to break off. You keep trying to free yourself, but you can't shake it off. That's what I'm talking about. That's the one that Jesus says, and tell so-and-so, put your name on it. Amen. You're the one he's coming for. You're the one he wants. Can you imagine an angel is sent with your name on his lips? Amen. This is business we're talking about here. God is so serious about your life. You might not know this. But heaven has to send a name. Say, go and tell him. Even though you're in the midst of many, he's calling you by name. Go and tell Peter that I still love him. Yes, you failed me. I get it. But I still love you. Yes, you abandoned me. I get it. I will not abandon you. Yeah, you forsake me, but I will not forsake you. Yes, you may be unfaithful, but I will remain faithful because I'm God. Have you failed God before? Have you sinned against him? Have you denied that you belong to him when you participated in some activity that you knew was not glorifying God? And so when Jesus finally meets Peter, what does he say? He says, Peter, do you love me? How many times? Three times. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times. Peter, do you love me? This time, all the smartness of Peter, all the cleverness of Peter, all the quick ideas of Peter, he laid them aside and he says to Jesus, my Lord, you know. That's the best answer to give to God. Don't be too smart with God. He says, Lord, you know. So where are you today? God is calling your name. We'll end here today. God is calling your name. And I want to announce to you today on Resurrection Sunday that there is hope in Christ. That's the reason we continue to believe. The reason we believe is because we are hoping for a Jesus who's coming back. That's the reason. We hope that he is coming. We have hope. Resurrection gives, empowers us to hope in God. Otherwise, we'll be just like any other religion that keeps doing rituals, keeps doing the motions, hoping and hoping against hope that their names will be in paradise by some accident. No, no, we know. The Bible tells us that he who is the Son has eternal life. The Bible is very clear. I write this to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this eternal life is found in the Son. And he's here today. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in that tomb. He's risen. He's here. And as we partake in Holy Communion, we are declaring that reality that Jesus is alive. And that he can erase your failure. You don't need to be a failure. Let's close our eyes for a moment.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.